Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 2 of our study of Nehemiah. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Nehemiah 9, 9 through 15.
Hey guys, if you've been blessed by this podcast, I want to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for them to fall in love with God and His Word.
Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Fascinate us through your word today. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Nehemiah 9, starting in verse 9. You saw the suffering of our ancestors in Egypt. You heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his officials, and all the people of his land, for you knew how arrogantly the Egyptians treated them. You made a name for yourself, which remains to this day. You divided the sea before them, so that they passed through it on dry ground, but you hurled their pursuers into the depths, like a stone into mighty waters. By day you led them with a pillar of cloud, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light on the way that they were to take. Again, jumping back into this, the Levites are all standing up in front of the people after having read the law for part of the day. Everyone is sitting in sackcloth and ashes, mourning and weeping and confessing their sins. And the Levites have stood up and they are, again, I don't think they're reciting this, but they could be reciting this in unison, or they're giving this one person after another. Each person is giving their part. And what they're doing is they're giving the people a creed. Now, this passage that we just read is something that God actually commanded. Moses told the people, tell this story over and over to the generations that come about what the Lord did in leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. Make sure that every generation, you tell this story often. And so here is you know, after the initial part where we said, God, you created everything and you made it all, now we're jumping into the narrative of the Egyptian exile, where the people of Israel are coming out of Egypt. And again, this was something that God specifically commanded the people of Israel to very often. Every generation was to be told this story. They were to know this story inside and out, and to remind each other of this specific story of how God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so here is that part of what is essentially a creed in chapter 9, verse 13. You came down on Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them regulations and laws that are just and right, and decrees and commands that are good. You made known to them your holy Sabbath and gave them commands, decrees, and laws through your servant Moses. In their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. So again, this is just continuing this creed from yesterday's passages, and the rest of chapter 9 is going to be the continuation of this creed. And what a creed is, again, is it's a recitation, it's a reminder and a remembrance of what God has done for us and who we are as a people. So this people, and imagine how difficult this has been. If you've been with us now, the previous 10 weeks that we spent was in the book of Ezra, and now we're in Nehemiah. These books go together so well, and it gives us a picture of what we've gone through in the timeline here. This has been up until this point, from the time that Cyrus sent the Jews back to Jerusalem until now. We've had upwards of 100 years, maybe even more. Could be a little bit less, could be a little bit more, but somewhere in that neighborhood, 100 years, the people of Israel have been back in the land. It took them 15, 20 years-ish to get the temple completed. And that was because of all the obstruction that went on, the people that were opposing them. And then for another 80-ish years, people opposed them being able to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and be able to reestablish society. They've kind of been living, they have a temple that's operational, but the rest of Jerusalem still lies in ruins. It's useless for defense. And so the people, most of the people don't live in Jerusalem. It's probably painful for them to go and look at this ragtag city with the walls all collapsed and fallen down, and no one would let them rebuild the walls. And so it's been, again, 80 years since they rebuilt the temple round about there. And they've just gotten everything kind of put back together. They're just now, after a century, putting their society back together. So it's been about 170 years since Babylon destroyed Jerusalem. And now they're just getting all this back. So in that amount of time, that's a lot of time. That's several generations for them to be able to forget who they are. Even as when they went to Babylon, one of the things that the leaders, people like Ezra, the reason there was a person like Ezra who was trained in the law, says that about him all the time. In the book of Ezra and in Nehemiah here, it says that he is a teacher of the law. The reason why there were teachers of the law was when they got exiled to Babylon, after they had finally, you know, they fought it. When we read in Jeremiah, the people of Israel fought and fought and fought, you know, what was coming, what had been prophesied, that they were going to get carried away. They couldn't believe it. They didn't want to believe it. And when it finally happened, that's when they finally got it in their minds that we have sinned. We have done terrible things and we deserve this. They finally acknowledge that the Lord is just in doing this. And in doing so in the land of Babylon, they raised up people like Ezra, lots of people like him to teach the law, to really remember the law, remember what the Lord had told them and taught them. But leaving Babylon, again, a place of comfort where you have maybe the beginnings of some kind of synagogue system there where they're teaching on a regular basis and reminding the people of the law and reading to them the law, you have some level of comfort because they built houses. And there's still a lot of people in Babylon. At this point, a lot of people have come back to Jerusalem, but most of the Jews are still living in Babylon or have begun to disperse to other places. But a lot of them are still in what's now the Persian kingdom. They're not back in Jerusalem yet. And so they, all of these people here in Jerusalem, they've left the comfort of what they've known for the last 170 years or so, depending on when they came. They've come back, and, you know, when you are out of your normal environment and you're working on something and you're doing this and you're trying to rebuild a new life in a place that's very rugged and difficult, it can be very easy to get sidetracked into other things that matter less. And it's not that, you know, working and doing these things don't matter. It's just that we have to remember who we are in everything that we do. If we lose our way in remembering who we are, then everything else that we do, the value of that diminishes. The value of our work, the value of all of the activities we give ourselves to, if we're not rooted and grounded in God and in His Word and in knowing Him, everything else that we do is worthless. And that doesn't mean that that everything we do is worthless if we have rooted and grounded ourselves in His Word. When we do that, when we know God, that makes everything else that we do inherently valuable. Our work, the companies we work for, everything else that we do, when it flows from this place of knowing God and knowing His Word, it makes everything that we do valuable. The Lord has put us in specific places to be lights and beacons of His grace and His glory. But if we lose our way in that, things really start to get off track quickly. That's why we need God's Word. That's why I encourage you on a regular basis, as we're going through this book and every book, read it 10 times in the 10 weeks that we go through it. That way you'll have read Nehemiah. If you do that, you'll have read it at least 11 times, because you'll have read it 10 times and I read it to you one time going through this. The more you get God's Word in you, the more it will change you. And these creeds, they can be helpful and important to remind ourselves of who we are. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.